You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Every single day you want to be with us at 155 for Fast Track. It's presented by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. Got a car that's just sitting around not being used? Bring it to Puente Hills Toyota today for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota, the house of yes. So, John, coin flip. Everybody knows, I know now, that it's going to take an unbelievable amount of work and commitment for me to be able to make a solid appearance in our head-to-head matchup. So here's the question. On one side of the coin, I'm deeply committed, and I'm going to stick with it. Other side of the coin, I will eventually give up and just roll with September 10th.
You are type B, overwhelmingly tails.
Overwhelmingly tails it is.
Overwhelmingly tails, yes.
All right, I will defer. No advantage comes with that, as
all
you
all right. The New England Patriots will be hosting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the fourth week of the NFL season. It's a big deal because Tom Brady will return to Foxborough. Now, Tom Brady Sr. called into WEEI radio yesterday, and this is what he said.
I saw the schedule come out last night, and I started salivating when I saw that we play the Patriots in the fourth game of the season, and that we're coming up here to make our record 4-0 after the fourth game. So it's a pretty fun time.
Wow. So, I mean, hey, you got Cowboys on that opening night, and then I think it's Atlanta. Then you got a tough West Coast trip against the Rams, and that's going to be a short week for your guy there to get ready. But you still think it's 4-0 coming out of the gate?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it'd be – yeah, I actually you know, they're all tough.
Yeah.
You look at them, and there are no walkovers. But you know, coming back home to Boston, you know, it's our second home here, and the Patriots are our second favorite team. It's a game where we get to root for against nobody. We get to root for the Patriots, but our most favorite team, of course, is the Buccaneers, and so we expect to beat the Patriots rather handily, frankly.
John, if you're Tom Brady Sr.'s son, Tom, how do you feel about your dad talking smack back in Boston?
It doesn't help, but, you know, look at Brady's resume. His dad has earned the right to talk a little smack. He's one of the few guys. Yeah, I think people understand that that's his dad. It's not him. He's kind of like playing a LeVar Ball card here. I don't think it's a big deal to you.
No, I do think people will remember it. I do think people will remember this. I mean, it was on the station that carries the games this week, and he said we'll handle them easily. I tend to think this is totally harmless. I mean, some athletes' parents get involved in stuff that is probably not smart to get involved in. This is probably one of those, but I think in the end it's harmless. And by the way, I do think that Tampa Bay will handle the Patriots easily. I agree with Tom Sr. It's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. Major League Baseball announced this week that the Oakland A's are unlikely to resolve their stadium issues and may have to move out of Oakland. Cities are lining up to bring in the A's, with the main suitors being Las Vegas, Nashville, and Portland. Let's say you own the A's. Which one of those three cities would be the best fit? Keep in mind, you have to live there, try and make money there, get local fans involved. These are three decent options. Which one is the best? Las Vegas, Nashville, or Portland?
I just think Las Vegas is the play. I mean, because then you become, if you're in Vegas, you become sort of a national team, because everybody will say, hey, let's go see our team play in Vegas. That's a good time to go on a road trip with the team when they go to Vegas. And I think there is a loyal fan base, as has been demonstrated by both the Golden Knights and the Raiders. We'll find out this year, but Raiders games are
totally sold out. I think Vegas is the place for a Major League Baseball franchise.
Completely agree with you. I think that it's one of the fastest growing towns. And I think Nashville and Portland are great. But, you know, the Raiders have taken over Vegas. The Golden Knights, the hockey team, are a huge success there.
Yep.
I think visiting teams and visiting fans would want to go there. They could build a dome stadium, like the one in Arizona, to keep the heat out.
Sure.
If they move, I think Vegas is an – now, and think about this. If that happens, over the last 4 years, the Raiders will have left Oakland to go to Vegas. The Warriors will have left Oakland to go to San Francisco. And then the A's would have left Oakland to go to Vegas. It does not bode well for the economy in Oakland that they keep letting these teams just walk out the door. It's a bad look for the city.
Yeah, I agree. All right, it's to me.
Fast track.
John, today is Dennis Rodman's 60th birthday. Isn't that hard to believe? Dennis Rodman is 60. Now, is he the weirdest, most offbeat, most unusual player that we have ever covered?
I was gonna
think
say,
about the stuff, the Madonna and all that business that went
I was going to say, Rodman always struck me as somebody that was crazy like a fox, like kind of had a plan. Albert Bell, would Albert Bell be worse?
I don't think Albert Bell was as kooky.
Manny Ramirez, does he get any votes?
Nah, he was fun. I would say Yasiel Puig gets some votes.
Yeah,
Puig was always – he was always a handful.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, it really – I mean, Rodman is in a unique category. He's actually pretty fascinating as a person. And I tend to agree with you, John. I think he's also very intelligent. Meta World Peace is in the conversation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Meta's a very unusual guy to cover. Yeah, Great guy. But an unusual guy to cover.
Not sure. All right. It's to me.
It's to you.
Fast track.
On Monday – NBC pulled the plug on televising the Golden Globes, which is run by the Hollywood Foreign Press. To most casual fans, the Golden Globes was a fun award show where everybody talked candidly because they all drank at the table.
Yes.
But now NBC is out and the Globes may go away altogether. Now, you understand this stuff better than most. Take 60 seconds and explain why the Golden Globes are going away.
Okay, so a couple of reasons. Number one. The membership of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association is completely – there are no people of color. There are no people
really?
Of color.
Are there any women?
There are women, but there are no African-Americans in that panel. So how can they fairly judge exactly who's best and who's not? The other thing, John, is that you've got to basically campaign and suck up to each one of these Hollywood Foreign Press voters in order to get their vote. So there are meet and greets, and there's I'll buy you dinner, and there's you got to spend a lot of time with some guy from Luxembourg trying to get his vote. It's just really people on the take. So I think that's ultimately – those are the two reasons why the Golden Globes are going away. I do think there will be another award show that takes its place. I just think the Golden Globes, as they have been, are dead.
Man – how come you and I never got into a position where people had to suck up to us to get our votes?
Yeah. There are people
just missed out completely on that.
I think sometimes studios just pay those Golden Globe voters for votes. All right, it's to me.
Fast track.
Lions wide receiver Quintez Cephas has had a girlfriend who's an Instagram model. Now, she found out that he was cheating on her, and she decided to put him on blast on social media. Here's a little bit of what she has said. Y'all be cheating on y'all girl with B-words who look up to y'all girl. Quintez Cephas is really a B-word in real life. Dude went into my house and stole blank. I have a house key. I gave him a house key in case of emergency. Weird AF, he blocked me, but he need to run me like blank today. John, all this stuff, and it's continuing to pour out from this woman. Continuing. If you were Quintez Cephas, how would you handle this woman scorned?
That's a great question. I almost think reacting to her makes it worse. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you can't. It sounds like it would be difficult to make peace with this
right.
woman.
There's an old saying that you never get in a fight with somebody that you know, has nothing to lose like this woman appears not to. I don't know if the right answer would be, do you think there's a settlement of any type to be made here to get her to go away? Or I don't
think
know.
It is. I think the only play is to ignore her. I think blocking her is the right thing.
That was my eventually, first reaction was it just doesn't seem like you get too far if you engage with her. You know what I mean?
Eventually she will, you know, as a manner of speaking, punch herself out. And it's not like she's got gigantic followers because of this situation. But ultimately, I can't imagine it's going to have much of a shelf life. And by the way, if you're an Instagram model and you're dating a professional athlete, you should assume that he's not dating you exclusively. Is that fair?
You can even take the phrase out of your statement, if you're an Instagram model.
Oh, yeah. If you're dating a professional athlete, yeah. You can't be surprised when they cheat on you.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that kind of goes with the territory.
It's to you.
Fast Track.
All right, Ross Dellinger at Sports Illustrated has done a deep dive on the future of the college football playoff.
Okay.
He says that for the next 2 years, it'll stay the same, 14 playoff. But after that, Dellinger says they are very likely to expand. The question is, how many teams are they going to let in? He writes the new likely playoff will feature either 6, 8, or 12 teams. If it were up to you, how many teams do you want to see in the new college football playoff in 2 years? And you can't say 4 because they're moving on from that.
I would like to say 6.
Just add 2 more wild cards.
Add 2 more wild cards, so you got a number 1 seed, a number 2 seed, then the 3 and the 4 play the 5 and the 6, and that's how you settle it. It creates 2 more spots. I also think that conference champions should be in that play. Like, whoever wins the Pac-12, whoever wins the Big 12, I think there should be a carved-out spot.
So, I agree with the second part of what you said, that the conference champions should get in. But think about this. There are 5 power conferences. So, using your theory, 5 power conferences, and then you got to have a spot for, like, Notre Dame, like the really good independent, whoever that is.
Or a really good mid-major.
But there's going to be more than that. I think if you stretch it out to 8, it's perfect. Then you can let the Coastal Carolinas in if they're undefeated. Everybody always thinks that undefeated team could we. So you would get the 5 conference champions from the Power 5. You would get the big independent, a team like Notre Dame that could take one of those spots, and you'd have 2 at large berths. Or I guess you'd have 3 at large berths
for the team that finishes 2nd in the SEC
and that is like an undefeated, you know, like Coastal Carolina or
FAU, one of those.
You know, one of those teams. So I think 8 is the number. Bergman, how many would you let in?
I like 8 also, but I don't think that like Notre Dame should be the one that we always put in there. They always get destroyed.
You don't
in
have
these
to
games.
Put them in, but I'm saying
no.
that
yeah,
an when
independent,
they're good.
Sure.
They're a money-making machine.
But it is fair to say that they've made the playoff multiple times with Brian Kelly, and they have not been competitive.
Yeah, they get beat by like 40 in every
and
one of those
way,
games.
And by the way, 8, Mace, gives you, let's say there's a tremendous battle in a conference championship game.
Yeah.
Like Alabama and Georgia come down to the wire. Then you can get the loser of that game in, and you could take an Ohio State in Michigan, or you could take a UCLA or USC. I mean, it gives you a little more flexibility with 8. 8's the number, I think. But let's see what they come up with.
Yeah, see what they come up with. Yeah, absolutely. Do we have time for one more?
Fast Track.
You got one?
Yeah, I do. John, every state is trying to overcome vaccine hesitancy right now, and Ohio Governor Mike DeWine is taking this very seriously. He has set up a weekly $1 million lottery for people who actually get their vaccine. So if you've had at least one of your 2 vaccines, you are eligible for this $1 million lottery. You get your vaccine, you're entered to win every Tuesday night. They're giving away $1 million. The state of Ohio announces the winner. What do you think of this idea?
Don't hate it. I think anything that gets more people vaccinated is a good idea. Matter of fact, did you see there's one place, I'm trying to remember what state it's in, that's ordering get a shot with your shot. So you go to a bar.
There you go.
To get vaccinated. And if you agree to get your COVID shot, they give you a free shot of whatever you want at the bar. So, you know, if we all went in there, if the four of us went in there and we were all unvaccinated, we said, hey, let's go get our shots, we would drink, our first drink would be free.
Nice.
You know, so I think there are ways you can entice. Again, I haven't heard a good reason why, and I know a lot of people out there are anti-vax, but I haven't heard a good reason why you wouldn't take the vaccine. Like, I don't think it's life-threatening. I think that, for the most part, almost every medical school of thought thinks that it's the safest way to go and the quickest way we can get back to normal. We can't make everybody do it, but, man, you can really hurt your friends and your coworkers if you screw this up. So why not, you know, eliminate the possibility of screwing it up? I don't get it.
And by the way, there are benefits to getting the vaccine. Like, for example, this just came out today. People vaccinated against COVID-19 can go without masks indoors and outdoors.
Yeah.
So we're really getting there in a fast way. And I wonder, John, now, I wonder if that changes the paradigm for the NBA and letting fans into games. Vaccinated people can stop wearing masks indoors and outdoors. That's the CDC.
Yeah, that's a good question. By the way, there were about 4,000 people at Staples Center.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, that's pretty good.
That's, I think, the most they've had yet, and it looked like almost a real crowd. So we're getting there. We're getting there. It's just a matter of, you know, kind of following the health and safety guidelines. I read a story today about a lot of those Yankee coaches that got COVID had been vaccinated. So there's a couple of weird twists out there that are, you know, not making sense. But I think for the most part, the stories are all moving us in a positive direction.
And California's in a good shape. Our vaccination rate is now 54 or 55% in the state of California. So we're moving really fast. And the mask mandate is going to be lifted by the state on June the 15th. So no more mask mandate. Excellent. From Newsom or the government. The government. You know, the government makes it sound very threatening. The government. All right, coming up next, John, 17-game schedule in the NFL this year. I got the Rams schedule. And also an interesting question raised by Teddy Bruschi today on the Get Up Show. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bergman, you sounds like you're getting replaced here on your last day.
I'm going to be replaced tomorrow anyway. So,
yeah, Lindsay will be back tomorrow. And I, you
no
know,
respect,
in fairness,
Mace.
In fairness, Greg, Twitter does hate you. I mean,
it's true.
Twitter collectively really does not like
Twitter
Greg
hates
Bergman.
Everyone though, Greg. So don't feel that bad.
Right, but I mean, what's that difference than being here at the studio anyway? You guys hate me, but I'm here anyway.
That's a good point.
Twitter hates me. I'm here anyway. So there's not really much of a difference.
Yeah. All right, so 17-game schedule now in the NFL. I totally forgot. You got to change your record predictions, right? Like I heard Kaplan say 9-8 yesterday. 9-8. You got to change to the 17-point answer, 17-game answer to final record. So the Rams play on national TV 5 times. They've got Sunday Night Football in the opener, home to the Bears. By the way, they are 7-point favorites in that game already in Vegas. At Indy, home to Tampa in Week 3. Tom Brady at SoFi Stadium.
Is that a nationally televised game?
No, weirdly, that is a 125 game on Fox.
Okay.
Yeah. Home to the Cardinals. At Seattle, Thursday night game. I hate Thursday night games. At the Giants. At Houston. Home to Tennessee, that's Sunday night football. At San Francisco, that's Monday night football. At Green Bay, that's a Sunday afternoon game. Home to Jacksonville, so we get to see Trevor Lawrence. At the Cardinals, that's Monday night football. home to Seattle, at the Vikings, at the Ravens, home to the Niners. So they finish really tough with the Ravens and the Niners, although
yeah,
the Niners are at home.
Yeah, they never beat the Niners. So
yeah, we've terrible fortune against them. Now, according to the FPI, John, you always talk about the BPI, the Basketball Power Index. According to the Football Power Index, everybody's got an index now. The Rams have the 10th easiest schedule in the NFL for this coming season. And I heard the afternoon guys are really negative, like Kaplan is really negative on the Rams.
Wasn't Kaplan used to be a Charger fan. I don't know if he's
he
still
hates
is.
The Chargers. He absolutely despises the Chargers.
Now, yeah. What's interesting about the Chargers is the league really did them no favors. Did you see who their first home game is against?
No. You know my attention with the Chargers. Go ahead.
But think about this. They haven't had any fans in SoFi yet.
Yep.
Their first home game is against Dallas. There's going to be more Cowboy fans than Charger fans. You know how the Cowboy fans rally for road trips. I mean, even when they have practice in Thousand Oaks or Oxnard, they pack the place in. So that's a horrible break. The Chargers are going to feel like the road team at their home opener.
By the Rams, have exhibition games now against Oakland. I was going to say Oakland. Vegas. And San Diego. I got them both wrong. Oakland and San Diego.
Where is the Vegas exhibition game? Is it at SoFi or is it
It's
in
at SoFi, yeah.
It's not at the Roomba?
Not at the Roomba.
I'm looking for a reason to go to the Roomba.
Well, you're a Raiders fan. Why not? How about that?
Well, if I could see the Raiders and the Rams, that would be great. Maybe and I could go together and yell at each other.
I'll go with you. I'll join.
Yeah, you'll join?
Yeah, three of us. That's roped.
Yeah, well, no, nice. Well, then Mace, you got to get another Rams fan because Jorge and I will be pulling for the silver and black.
That's right. And I will be pulling against. Yeah. And what's Jorge, are you a Raiders fan?
Niners fan.
Niners. Oh, what? Get off this show.
Okay.
Get the F off the show. How did you become a Niners fan?
Because of my dad. He's just.
Strangely, yeah. I think both the Raiders, or I mean, both the Rams and the Niners think they're a Super Bowl team this year. Don't you agree? They both think they're going this year.
You said Raiders and Rams?
No, Rams and Niners.
Yeah, I think so. Although. Niners got to start from scratch at quarterback.
Yeah, we got to figure
Jimmy
out the
G's
quarterback.
Going to play quarterback this year.
Well, but that kid, eventually, it's going to be like what happened with Justin Herbert. You play 5-6 games, and then you wind up going to
and
the
And then
kid.
You randomly poke the chest of the starter so the backup can get in there.
Yeah, who's there? It's Lance. What's that kid's
Trey
name?
Trey Lance.
There you go. Trey Lance. But 17 games is interesting. And Teddy Bruschi made an interesting point this morning on the Get Up. Do you have that there, Jorge?
You know how teams value their divisional games and how important and critical they can be to winning that division, especially if it's tight. So with there being now an extra game in a 17-game regular season, do general managers and head coaches start to load manage their players so they're 100% healthy for a stretch run?
Now, do you think that's possible, that teams will actually go to load management because of the 17-game season?
Mace, Sean McVay's been doing it for a 16-game
season. Yeah, but not
–
right, but he doesn't play the last game if they've clinched.
Right.
And he
so
doesn't
that, but
play
that's what
him
Teddy's
in preseason.
Talking about is that they're going to load manage at the end of the year if they've already made the playoffs. And my counter to that would be the Rams have been doing it for years. The Rams don't play anybody in the preseason. No, Matthew Stafford won't take one snap in the preseason. Jared Goff didn't last year. That's just the way McVay looks
but
at the
I
preseason.
But I think Bruschi's saying, hey, we've got a couple of tough road games coming up. Why don't you sit this one out?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's definitely – not with quarterbacks. Like, we're not going to – all of a sudden one week, Matthew Stafford's not going to sit out.
Right, but Aaron Donald could.
Oh, yeah, Aaron Donald could. You're right, against the right opponent. Like that Jacksonville game. A Jacksonville game's probably a game that you should win. It's at home. That's a game where you could potentially rest, guys. By the way, I was looking at Kelly Stafford, who's Matthew's wife, on Instagram. And she used an expression that I've never heard before. I miss Detroit.
What does she miss about it?
She does not go into detail.
Yeah, I've never heard anyone say that.
She's just moving to Southern California, but she misses Detroit. Who couldn't miss Detroit?
Oh, God.
Detroit is, as much fun as we make of Cleveland, really Detroit deserves all of it.
It's not Detroit.
It's not Detroit. Detroit is a rough town. They've not developed their downtown. Cleveland actually has got a pretty nice downtown, John. You go to the Quicken Loans Arena all the time.
Right, but you know that the new Pistons Arena is downtown, and so is all the stadiums are downtown now. Tigers, Lions, Pistons, they're actually done a pretty good job. They ran out of money. They were doing a major downtown reconstruction project. It dried up, but they got a lot of stuff in, so it's better than it was before in downtown Detroit.
Yeah,
but you're right. It's not going to win any awards for most vibrant downtown.
In Toledo, we used to make fun of Detroit. I'll tell you that much. We actually were smack between Cleveland and Detroit, and we made fun of both of them. I hate when people say, you're from Cleveland. I'm not from Cleveland. Let's give Toledo some ups.
Yeah.
It's a town. Real town.
Most people who don't know anything about Ohio think Toledo is worse than Cleveland. So they don't know.
They don't know. But I should have credited that Seth Rogen stuff we did on Scientology. That was from Howard Stern's show. So you heard Stern and you heard Robin Quivers. He always gets great stuff out of people. John, do you realize that it is the anniversary of a very, very memorable Lakers moment?
Anniversary of a very memorable Lakers moment.
This date in 2004. This day in 2004.
Was it the Derek Fisher shot?
Let's see. Jorge hit it.
4:10 remaining in the fifth game. Here they go. They get it to Fisher. He scores! Derek Fisher scores at the buzzer. It'll have to be reviewed. They'll review it. The Lakers are going to run to the dressing room and they'll try to get on the plane before the officials can get over to the scorer's table.
Boy,
oh, my
close.
God.
The .4 miracle shot of Derek Fisher. It's weird because we remember that shot, but that's not a year that we won the title, right?
Right. That's the year they went and played Detroit. But we did knock the Spurs out that year. And here's a weird story about that. So I was covering that game for KCAL. I was in the building.
Right.
And I'm watching from the tunnel. And right before that, Tim Duncan threw in a really lucky shot. Like he banked in a 20-footer to put the Spurs up by one. And then, you know, the Lakers immediately called timeout, and there was less than a second. So me and my cameraman went back to the locker room and set up in the hallway because we knew it was going to get really crowded in the hallway and we wanted to get near the front of the line. And there was a TV back there. And even though I was in the building, I saw Fisher make that shot on a small monitor, maybe 7-8 inches wide, almost like the size of a phone, outside the Laker locker room. And that's when they came storming back there after we hit it. But I was in the building. I didn't see the shot live. I saw it on tape.
Yeah, I remember. I was doing we were doing sort of fake post game. You know how you do that when you don't have the Lakers?
Yeah.
Right after the game.
Yeah, back then we didn't have them.
You do a pretend post game, and I was doing it with Sean Farnham. So we were doing it after every game. I remember watching it in the studio at the La Cienega offices when we used to be over there. But yeah, it was a crazy, crazy shot. Really hard to do. Really hard to repeat to score with less than 1 second left.
That was incredible. You know, of course, Kobe was in that game, and coming up next is the Kobe giveaway, right?
That's right. We got the Kobe Bryant book that we're giving away in honor of his Hall of Fame induction tomorrow. It's Kobe Bryant's book called The Mamba Mentality. Then you qualify to win a Kobe autographed basketball, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-ESPN. John's got a dumb little game that you can play to win, and you qualify to win the Kobe basketball. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
right, what is going on? Hey, we have got a copy of Kobe Bryant's book. Saturday, of course, he's being inducted into the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame. And that will be carried, by the way, on Saturday at 2:30 on ESPN. So make sure you're watching that. Kobe's getting inducted Saturday. Michael Jordan will be presenting him. Vanessa Bryant will be there as part of the ceremony. And we're giving away Kobe Bryant's book, The Mamba Mentality, How I Play. If you win the book right now with John Stupid Little Game, you will qualify to win an autographed Kobe basketball, which has got to be worth a lot of money, a lot of money. So, John, what do you got?
All right, who do you get? Callers lined up?
Yeah, I've got callers lined up.
Who's first?
Let's start with Dan in Anaheim. Dan, you're on 710 ESPN. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, go Dan. Ahead. All right, so Kobe played for 20 years with the Lakers. A couple of years he won the scoring title. He averaged 35 points a game 1 year. But, Dan, if you add up the average amount of points per game Kobe scored in his first year to the average amount of points he scored in his last year, what number do you get? Take a guess.
Just take a guess, Dan.
3, 2, 14. Okay. Who's next, Mace?
Antonio in Los Angeles. Antonio, you're on 710
yep,
ESPN.
I'm here.
What's up, man?
Hey, Antonio, if you take the average Kobe had his first year and add it to the average he had his last year, how many points per game would he average?
17.5.
Okay.
That is a good solid guess. Let's go to the very wealthy Manhattan Beach, and Derek is on the line. Derek, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, Derek. All right, rookie year and final year. If you add those totals up, what do you get?
I'll say 16.
16? Okay, 16. And one
Everybody's
more,
Everybody's in the same area. And Joey and Arietta. Joey, you're on 710 ESPN. Hey, you're the last guesser, man.
18.
So everybody's Joey, right in the same neighborhood.
Joey, you were very smart to go with the high number. Mace, his rookie year, Kobe averaged 7.6 per game.
Okay.
His last year, 17.6. The total is 25.2. Joey, who had the highest guess, is the winner.
Way to go, Joey. Congratulations, man. You get the Mamba Mentality book, and you're qualified to win the Kobe basketball. I think we're giving that away on Friday and tomorrow on the SLK show. Do we call it the SLK show now?
Yeah, we do.
SLK?
Sedano, LZ, and Cap.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. All right, so there you have
something,
it?
You want to hear something weird about that question?
Yes.
All right, so like I said, Kobe played for 20 years. Here, I'll read his scoring titles for the first 5 years, okay?
Okay.
7.6, 15.4, 19.9, 22.5, 28.5. All right, okay. And then he really started to take off after that. Won a couple of scoring titles. So obviously, he had a different points per game every single year. His entire career, if you do his career points per game.
Yes.
25.0. But if you add the first year to the last year, you get 25.2. That's how consistent that dude was.
Wow.
And just even his last season when, after his injuries and everything, he averaged 17 a game.
John, how certain are you, percentage-wise, that the Lakers, and they're in a situation where they cannot afford to lose and they need – either Portland or they need Portland to win twice or lose twice.
Right.
What do they need from Dallas?
Same thing.
Lose twice.
Need Dallas to lose twice. Yeah.
So the percentage chance that we are in the playoff is probably 75%.
I think I saw that it's in the 80s, actually.
In the 80s, okay.
That we're going to be in the playoff.
So, but it's not certain that we're going to play Golden State yet.
No, only because Memphis could sneak in there.
Right, they're only separated by a half a game. So we could conceivably now, here's a question. Obviously, the showstopper is Lakers versus Golden State in a one-game play-in tournament. We would rather have Memphis. Memphis is the easier opponent.
Really? You don't want LeBron and Curry?
No, I'm saying it's the showstopper. That's the one I want to see. But would you rather have the one you want to see or the easier matchup?
Okay, so here's the interesting thing. Remember I mentioned to you that Memphis is a half a game behind Golden State.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Okay, so the and I know I'm asking you to watch a lot of these games and kind of keep an eye on a lot of different stuff, but here's a really fun one. All
right? I'm smart. I can do it.
Tonight at 5 o'clock, Memphis plays at home against Sacramento.
Okay.
Okay. So let's say Memphis wins that game. They're going to be a big favorite. They're at home against Sacramento. All right. So then they'll have the exact same records. All right.
Right.
Then let's say they each win their next game. Memphis's next game is Friday against New Orleans, and New Orleans is resting everybody.
Right. And of course, don't have Zion.
Right. So that's probably a win for Memphis. Okay.
Okay.
Let's say Golden State is – oh, I'm sorry. It's Golden State that plays at New Orleans.
That
hosts New Orleans.
Yep.
Okay. Memphis plays Sacramento tonight. And then let me look up who Memphis's other opponent is after tonight. And then when I tell you the payoff here.
So again,
they play Sacramento twice. They play them
Sacramento twice.
They play them tonight and tomorrow night.
Ooh.
Okay. So let's say they win both those.
Yep.
On Sunday, Golden State hosting Memphis to determine who plays the Lakers.
Oh, wow.
And they each have won one game, so it also determines the tiebreaker.
Wow.
And it's on ESPN at 12:30.
That's on Saturday.
Sunday.
Sunday at 12:30.
On the last day of the season. So
Memphis Golden State, we'll find out if we're going to face Ja Morant or Steph Curry.
Right.
That's fun.
Yeah. Well, that's what they wanted. You know, they wanted this scenario where, and I think I told you that we now know when the Laker game times are. They're going to play at 10 a.m. on Saturday.
Yep.
And they're going to play at like 6 o'clock on Sunday. But the NBA has completely loaded Saturday and Sunday with all these games that start roughly around the same time.
Okay.
So, you know, for example, on Saturday, there are five games that all start at 10 a.m. our time. All of them. And so all those games, you know, you'll be monitoring stuff at the same time.
It's like what they did with baseball.
They stole this
the last
from,
couple
they
of years.
Stole this from baseball. But the Lakers are going to be playing New Orleans at 6 o'clock our time on Sunday. And that Memphis Golden State game will already have been decided. So, I mean, I think the Lakers could know who they're – they could know they're in the play-in tournament, but they won't know their opponent until Sunday. So it makes it really hard to prepare.
Wow. Yeah, it does. It does. Although they've played both of them.
Right.
But, yeah, that's interesting. I personally don't want to see LeBron or Anthony Davis until we get to the play-in game.
I think that's realistic.
Like, why would you? Why would you just get as much rest and treatment as you possibly can to be ready for the games that are going to be real, especially when we're destined for the seven anyway?
Right. And there, it's not realistic to think that the Lakers are going to drop. I don't even know if it's mathematically possible that the Lakers can drop to the eight. They can't. So in other words, they're three games ahead of Golden State and Memphis, and they only have two left. So they can't.
Oh, yeah, so they're fine there. They're locked into the seven for the most part.
Right, so you're right. Why, is it allowed to leave LeBron and AD in L.A.? Is that even something they would consider?
They should.
Yeah, I would consider that.
Yeah, they should. They're both dealing with injury and getting treatment. I don't see why they should have to make that trip.
The only thing that would make it complicated is if Portland loses tonight and they've got a hard game. They're at Phoenix.
Right.
Then there's a chance the Lakers could get the six, but they don't seem to be prioritizing the six over health.
No, I don't think so. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder, and Lindsay is going to make an appearance from, I think she's in Maui. She'll return tomorrow, but she's been on vacation, a well-deserved vacation, and she's got something for Radio Tinder, and then Bergman will try to do his version of Radio Tinder, such as it is.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is. So Bergman has been filling in as well as he can this week as Lindsay is on vacation in Hawaii. But I believe Lindsay has checked in. She's going to come back tomorrow, but she sent us an Instagram message, and I think we have that right now.
Yes, we do. Go ahead, Jorge.
Hey, guys. Hope you're having a blast with corporate Greg taking over Radio Tinder for me. Don't worry. I'll be back tomorrow. As you know, I'm in Maui, and there's a ton of kids here, like even toddlers. So I wanted to ask you all, would you take a toddler with you to Maui? Swipe left or swipe right? I got to go because I have to get back to my snorkeling group. See you tomorrow.
There you go.
Snorkeling
Lindsay.
Group.
She's having
good for
fun.
Her.
Yeah.
I actually took Jack to Hawaii when he was 4. That counts as a toddler, right?
Sure does.
Yeah, I don't know.
So you've done it.
Yeah, what does Lindsay expect us to do with the toddler if we don't bring them to Hawaii?
Here's one of the first questions I ask when we're going on vacation. I ask, are there going to be kids there? And if the answer is yes, I say, let's go somewhere else.
Wow, like, you're that guy.
It has been suggested to me to go to the Disney Slide Park or whatever it is in, what is it called?
No, Aulani.
Aulani.
Yeah, I've
been
there.
That's on Oahu.
Yeah, I've been there. That is, you do not want to go there.
That's got to be packed with kids, right?
Yeah, well, and there's a hotel in Maui where Lindsay is called the Grand Wailea.
Okay.
And they have like 20 different slides, water slides around the pool. So most of the people that stay there have kids, and it's like Disneyland. Yet Lisa and I like it because we're big kids, so we go on all the slides and on the rope swing and all that other stuff. But if you don't like kids, man, you got to go to there are places that have no kid pools.
That's exactly what I'm looking for, an adults-only pool.
Yeah.
If I've got that, I'm in.
Yeah, I like kids, so you and I look at this differently.
No, but I mean, I like kids. They're great. I like other people's kids. You know, I mean, I'm a huge fan. I never wanted kids, never thought I would be good at being a parent, so it's not my jam. I went to a baby shower last week, so
yeah.
I guess I
well,
like kids,
well, that's because
right?
You're a wuss.
Yeah,
but,
I had no choice.
You and Jorge.
Hey.
If you're a man, do not go to a baby shower. It's a trap.
By the way, I've heard from so many guys on Twitter and on email that they go to baby have gone to baby showers, have hosted baby showers. Mm-hmm. It's not as rare as you think it is.
Yeah, tell all
baby
those guys,
showers aren't just for women anymore, John.
Tell all those guys to turn in their man cards. But you can easily find. I would, to answer Lindsay's question, I would bring, and by the way, I don't know, Jorge, if you or Greg, if you have done this, if you take your kids to Hawaii, they are wiped out by 7 o'clock at night. I mean, just because it's hot and they're in the water all day. And you basically get the whole nights to yourself, which is awesome.
I would say to my mom, hey, Mom, I'm going to Hawaii. Will you watch Steve Mason Jr. for me?
Oh, no way.
Well, Lisa and I have done that. We've gone on vacations and had my mom watch Jack. But Hawaii, that's a great spot for kids. Kids love Hawaii.
Yeah. Man, just get me into Hawaii. That's all I care about.
You used to work in Hawaii, didn't you, Bergman?
Yeah, I lived there for 2 years. And,
with a 7-year-old. Greg, did you have Riley when you lived there?
Riley was born there, yes.
Okay. So you know what I'm talking about. That's a great spot for kids. They get up early in the morning, they burn out by when it gets dark, and you got the whole night to yourself.
You know what's a great spot for kids? Daycare. Daycare is good. Free care. Crazy.
Well, hey, Mace, you know, a lot of those hotels have kids' clubs. Yeah, so you just drop your kids off at the kids' club.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, Lindsay, the answer to the question, I'm swiping right. I think,
no, you're swiping left. You wouldn't bring your
toddler. Oh, yeah, I'm swiping left. Mom should take care of the toddler while I'm in Hawaii.
All right, so you guys love the movie The Social Network.
Oh, it's so good. I watched it recently again.
I think it was the best movie of the decade in between 2010 and 2020.
You know what movie it lost to for the Oscar, John?
What?
The King's Speech.
I like The King's Speech. Social Network was better.
Social Network was easily the best movie of that year.
This is all I got to say is you guys like the movie and you go off?
Social Network and Inception were the two movies that I loved among those Oscar nominees, right, so, and I did not love King's Speech. Yeah.
Greg, what is your question about
about you. What
it's
is
not
it?
About me. It's for you guys. But I was actually expecting John to say that was Justin Timberlake's performance as Sean Parker was incredibly underrated. I was waiting for that one.
Okay, by the way, do you know when Sean Parker, in that movie, in The Social Network, Sean Parker finds out about Facebook when he hooks up with a girl in a bar and goes back to her dorm room,
yep,
and she goes to take a shower, and he says, "Hey, Amy, what is this thing on your computer?" And she says, "It's the Facebook. All my friends are talking about it." That was the first movie for someone who's now a famous actress. Do you guys remember who that was?
First movie for Kate Mara. Rooney Mara.
Good guesses. Rooney Mara was in that movie, but she was Mark Zuckerberg's girlfriend. Who basically yells at him for?
I remember Rashida Jones was in it.
Yep, but this was one scene in a dorm room, and the girl goes, "What do you do?" to Timberlake, and he goes, "I'm an entrepreneur." And she said, "Have you come up with anything I've heard of?" He goes, "I came up with a music program that allows everybody to share their music with their friends." She goes, "That sounds like Napster." He goes, "It is Napster. Sean Parker created Napster. I just slept with Sean Parker. Nice to meet you." It was Dakota Johnson. It was her first
Dakota
movie.
Johnson, yeah.
Yeah.
Don Johnson and Melanie Griffith's kid.
Right. All right.
She's
so,
actually good.
Greg, did we do it again? Did we interrupt you before
yeah,
you asked the question?
What is the actual question about The Social Network?
Right. So
by the way, this is what Radio Tinder, it's about riffing. So go ahead.
Right,
ask the actual
off the
question.
But anyways, so the story is actually about Andrew Garfield. He had an iconic line where as Eduardo Saverin, he whispered, "You better lawyer up, a-hole," in Mark Zuckerberg's ear. Well, Garfield said to BuzzFeed the other day that if he's ever in need of money, he would whisper that line into people's ears for cash. So swipe left or swipe right on this mode of making money, and what line would you set that you've said a lot, would you whisper in people's ears for cash?
Wait, I don't understand. So if Andrew Garfield, if we were friends with Andrew Garfield, and he whispered into one of our ears, "You better lawyer up, a-hole," That's code for he needs money?
No. Well, I guess maybe.
In other words, I'm coming after you for money. I've hired an attorney because you stole my idea.
Just like, "Hey, I need a little extra cash."
If I need money, I say, "Hey, Mason, do you have $20?
Yeah, no, that's a good way to do it. Or make a bet with me because you know I will lose it.
Right. Well, and the other thing is Mason never has cash, so it's normally the reverse. It's, "Hey, Ireland, do you have $20? And you always pay me back, but you never have cash on hand.
No, I send you by Apple Pay. Apple Pay is the easiest way to do it.
Very weird.
Yeah, it's a great movie. Did we answer your question?
No, not in the slightest.
Okay. Yeah, my friend Don Harris, great guy. He was a vice president at Paramount Pictures. He told me one time, and he passed away a few years ago, my best friend. And he said, "Nothing happens until you say, 'I'll see you in court.'" That's what you have to do. "I'll see you in..." So it's a variation of what Andrew Garfield said, but "I'll see you in court" was the right way to phrase it.
Well, what's weird is it you know, when all those Donald Sterling stories came out.
Sure.
What if I told you that there was a podcast about Donald Sterling?
What if I told you?
What his MO was he would hire a coach and he'd give him a 5-year contract and then he'd fire the coach after 2 years and they just refused to pay the rest of it. And the coach would come in and say, "Hey, I got a 5-year deal. You got to give me the rest of the money." He would say, "See you in court." So there are people that live their life that way.
Yeah.
That basically are litigious about everything.
And most people don't follow through. Usually it's just something you say. Most people don't follow through, and you don't have to, you know, some people just yell, "I'll see you in court" randomly.
Right.
And then, it doesn't matter until you actually do it.
Yep, you never have to pay.
All right, Bergman, you got one more?
"Because I'm not coming back for 30%. I'm coming back for everything."
Nice. Yeah, nice pull there, Jorge.
Yeah, that didn't quite work out for Eduardo Saverin.
No, it did not. Did not.
All right,
or so, Greg on this question.
Yeah, apparently it did not work out well for me either. Yeah. I'm going to make it really easy on you guys then, okay?
Okay. Yep.
This is a simple left or right question. Zack Snyder's Army of the Dead is coming out on the 21st, and it's already getting some really good reviews. So swipe left or swipe right on zombie movies in general?
Oh, I'm swipe left. I don't think I've ever seen a zombie movie.
Oh, come on. You've never watched Walking Dead?
Walking Dead is a TV show, right?
Yes.
Walking Dead is a TV show? You ever never watched Fear the Walking Dead?
No.
You never watched Day of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead?
Yeah, none of these. I haven't seen any of these movies.
Zombieland?
What's the most famous?
Zombieland is a good one.
I haven't seen Zombieland. Matter of fact, isn't the guy who played Mark Zuckerberg in Zombieland too?
Yeah, Mark Zuckerberg is in that. And Bill Murray has a fantastic role in that where he's pretending to be a zombie and something bad happens. So, no, I'll tell you what. Zack Snyder really impressed me with the last Justice League movie, with the uncut Justice League movie that he released that was 4 hours long. I thought it was fantastic. I think Zack Snyder is one of the great commercial filmmakers there is today. And yes, I'm all in on zombie movies. Here's the thing about zombie movies. Zombie movies are not about the zombies. Zombies are just doing their thing. The zombies are about the people that are surviving and how they deal with the zombies. That's what zombie movies are actually about. That's what has made Walking Dead. I think Walking Dead has been on for like 10 years. I think Fear the Walking Dead has been on 5-6 years. That's what makes those shows popular. Walking Dead is one of the most popular shows in history, in recent history, on AMC. I love the show. I'm still watching the show. But I do like a good zombie movie. What about you, Bergman?
Yeah, I watched The Walking Dead. I'm good with zombie movies. Walking Dead it kind of got weird towards the last
Walking Dead
of years.
Got really dark.
Yeah, it got a little weird.
Yeah, Dean Morgan comes in there, and he is really, really hardcore. But
did you ever see Shaun of the Dead? Shaun of the Dead was really
Shaun
good.
Shaun of the Dead's a fantastic movie.
Yeah,
it's
that's
a
like
great
a funny,
comedy.
Yeah. That's a really good. So I'm good. I like zombie movies.
All right, you done?
Yeah, I mean, we're too late now. You got one question in that you could actually answer.
Yeah, all right, good. Good. We got one of them. All right. Coming up, John, what's coming up?
All right. So, Kobe Bryant's going into the Hall of Fame this Saturday.
Yes.
He's going to be presented by Michael Jordan. Jordan revealed something to Jack McMullen at ESPN that made me rethink completely the way I'm going to live my life moving forward. And I'll tell you what it is coming up.
Oh, wow. That's a big tease. All right. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.